Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, good morning, Montana. Obviously, this is not Aaron Flint. This is former Congressman Denny Rehberg, former lieutenant governor and state legislator. And I was a rancher for many, many years during that period of time as well. It's a pleasure to be with you today. A lot is happening both around the state of Montana and nationally. The Secret Service is hearing their are having their last hearing on the assassination attempt of President Trump. That'll be interesting. Obviously, there was some violence in New York, unheard of. Things are happening. But it's always a pleasure to be waking up in the state of Montana. I have to thank my dad. He passed away a number of years ago, Jack Rehberg. He was in the state legislature, ran for Congress himself. But what I want to thank him for is the fact that he shut the dairy down before I had an opportunity to work it. Dairy business is a tough business. They had the Midland Guernsey Dairy. And I always remember the story. I grew up with my great-grandfather who started it. And my great-grandfather said to my dad, you know, why can't you make it on 200 Guernsey Dairy cattle? Because I did, and I was able to put together a ranch and some farms and things like that. And Dad said, you know, AJ, when you were putting your wealth together, there was no such thing as an income tax. Your generation put it in and put it on top of us. And that's a lot about what we're talking, both in Congress and at the state level. The local level as well, taxes, they seem to be going up and up and up. We had a little conversation at a meeting last night about our property taxes in Montana and the fact that because of Yellowstone being a popular show and for other reasons, places like Whitefish and Bozeman, Kalispell, some parts of Billings as well, they're starting to see property taxes going up, and it's really hard on the people that have been here a while. And so over the course of this last week, we've had a lot of conversations with state legislators. I had the Billings mayor come in and talk a little bit about what was going on in the League of Cities and Towns around the state. This morning, after the next break, I'm going to have Congressman Ryan Zinke on, talking a little bit about what's going on in Washington, D.C., and later on again, I'm calling on my own state senator, Tom McGillivray, to come on air and talk a little bit from his perspective. He's in a leadership role. He's going to be the majority leader of the Montana House. And so what I've tried to do over the course of these last 4 days is be informational to try and help the people of Montana, from my perspective of having been a congressman, understand a little bit about government. We're in for some pretty exciting times with President Trump coming back. And I'm real pleased with the number and types of people that he's been introducing to us and nominating for the various positions. So I hope you'll buckle up your belt, your suspenders, or whatever else you wear, and be ready for this, my last day hosting the Aaron Flint Show. Thank you for being so kind to me. Don't forget there's an app, KBUL app, and the number 406-294-0970. We'll be kicking off with Mr. Zinke very shortly. Thank you very
much. Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures will stay in the upper 40s to around 50. For tonight, clear and quiet, with low temperatures in the upper 20s to around 30 degrees. And the outlook for Friday does call for more sunshine, with high temperatures from near 50 in Bozeman to about 53 in Billings. Clear and quiet into Friday night. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombley.
Securing America.
Speaking out for the first time since the election, U.S. Border Patrol Chief Jason Owens tells Fox News the past fiscal year that ended in October saw 1.5 million encounters, 250,000 known gotaways, 106 individuals hitting the FBI's terror watch list, and more than 520 gang members, of which 27 were tied to the violent Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua, which he warns is a major threat.
It is one of our top priorities, just like fentanyl. Tomorrow it may be something else, but today it's TDA and fentanyl.
The chief also says it's been a tough year, with four agents losing their lives in the line of duty in 646 assaults on agents.
It's been exhausting, but there's no place I'd rather be. Being here and being in the fight with my brothers and sisters in green.
But Owen says he's ready to stay in the job if the new administration needs him. In Eagle Pass, Texas, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
In Montana.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Good morning, Montana. This is former Congressman Vinny Reber filling in for Aaron Flint while he took a little time off. And I am honored to be able to introduce the next person on air, somebody who I know well, took the same position I had in the United States Congress, not only in Congress, but also on the Appropriations Committee. Good morning, Ryan. Good to have you on.
Good to have you, Denny, and I'm walking to work that same trail that you did many, many years.
Well,
the weather in Washington, D.C. is windy and cold, but not as cold as Montana.
Well, and you're a brave man if you're walking to work. When I first got to Washington, D.C., I was there on September 11th of 2001, and things have changed a lot over the years. It got really good in Washington. You could walk the streets and feel safe, and it's not quite that like that anymore. Tell us a little bit about your committee assignments. What committees are you on, and what do you hope to accomplish over the course of the next 2 years?
Well, I remain on appropriations, so which is the last step in the distributing the money. We have a financial crisis. But, I look at what's different this Congress. Last Congress, we did not have the Senate. We did not have the presidency. And Waters of the U.S. was one of the most atrocious and probably is one of the most atrocious federal overreaches. And we could not override a veto on a congressional review act to nullify the administration's overreach on Waters of the U.S. That kind of gave me an indicator of the relative strength. But now we have a presidency, we have a Senate, and there's a path to get things done. Winning an election, it was great. We did really well. But now it's time to get the job done, and the border is going to be at the top of the issue for Montana. People have to make a living there, bring costs down. But there's a lot to do in Congress, and I think with President Trump, I like his picks. I was with Chris Wright last night on a long, long talk about Department of Energy and why it's important to have America First Energy. To lower the cost, so I'm excited.
Well, what's it going to be like not representing the entire state of Montana? That's really kind of changed. I had the honor of having all 56 counties because of the population increase. You now have how many counties in your new district?
Well, you're absolutely right, Denny. And you're the longest serving member, I think, in the history of the state to represent all of Montana.
I was indeed.
And thanks, Denny, because, I got to tell you, Congress is a lot of work. If you want to get things done, it takes a lot of work. And I'm grateful for, the staff we have. Well, I do miss representing all of Montana, but I can tell you, I love having a swim buddy. So now our congressional delegation in both the House and the Senate, we have three combat veterans and a son of a Navy or a Marine. So I'm feeling pretty good that Montana is going to be represented well.
Well, how far east do you go? I'm pretty familiar. You don't have Helena in your district. You don't have Great Falls. You don't have...
No.
Do you have Bozeman?
When they shape, I do have Bozeman. So, you know, the makeup of the district, of course, the Flathead, and I have the entirety of the Blackfoot Nation. So I got the Blackfeet. Then I go down to Ennis. I kind of bulge out. I got half of Pondere, so, you know, almost in the middle of the Lear. Yeah, and I have Butte, of course, and we're going to have an office in Butte, downtown Butte. I love that Butte parade. But, you know, that's the district. And, you know, on the top of the district is Glacier Park, and the bottom of the district is Yellowstone National Park. So that's a pretty, and everywhere in between is beautiful. So it's a, I would argue it's the most beautiful district in America.
Well, you're smart because, like me, I started out on Resources Committee, Transportation, and Agriculture, and came to the conclusion very quickly that if you wanted to represent an entire state like Montana, you needed to be on appropriations so you could deal with defense and foreign ops and energy and water and all that. What subcommittees are you on appropriations?
Well, I'm on, of course, environment. That's interior, and God's got a sense of humor. I'm now funding in interior. By the way, Doug Burgum, the prospective nominee for the Department of Interior, is brilliant, great friend. He's going to represent the interests of our nation well. And then I'm on a VA and MILCON and transportation. So, you know, in Montana, Denny. And you look at our federal highway system and bridges, and one can say they're not maintained well enough, but they're maintained. And then you go to the state, and one can say, again, that maybe we have some bridges that need to be replaced. But then when you get to the county level, I can say in the counties, they don't, you know, they generally, you know, don't have a lot of money. And I give you an example, when you go over to Clarkfoot, Knoxon, you know, Knoxon's bridge, well, I think was built in 1914, and, you know, steel over a bridge over time deteriorates and it's got cracks in it. And that's really the only bridge going to Knox. It's a county bridge. So this is where being on appropriations can help. Yeah, because we got to serve America and rural America, you know, our infrastructure, sewer system, bridges.
Well, yeah, you've got the Milk
that's
River.
That's where it's hurting.
You've got the Milk River Canal that has failed, and that's an international disaster. It not only leaves Montana, goes up into Canada, comes back into Montana. It was not maintained, and you're going to have to come up with the money to pay for it. Well, sounds like the music's starting. We're running out of time, Ryan. I sure appreciate you joining us today. You got work to do.
My pleasure, but you know, Denny, I remain an optimist. So for listeners out there, look, guys, just put our heads down and get to work.
Well, we got a lot of work to do. The Congress didn't get their work done last year. You still have a budget that was supposed to be in place on October 1st, and it isn't done yet. So you've got a lot of work to do to get that out in the new majority. Thanks, Ryan. Good to have you.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
King or queen for the day on housing policy and regulation. What would you do? I, for one, would resist the urge to add more policies. There are dozens and dozens already, many of which are expensive and totally ineffective. I'd pull the plug on things like the deductibility of mortgage interest on federal income tax, which do nothing to affect the home ownership rate and actually help people buy bigger houses. I'm especially leery of adding policies that help people afford housing. Not that people don't need help affording housing, far from it. But such policies don't lower housing prices, they support low-income households. My King for the Day directive would be to focus on actions that boost housing supply. In fact, if people are talking about things that don't impact the supply, I'd table this discussion. We need to start measuring our performance in permitting new housing across cities and then prod those places to make progress. Growth restrictions are too popular for many places to do it on their own. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. The anticipation is over for Spotify users. Music fans eagerly awaiting the drop of their annual Spotify Wrapped list, which is now out. The project summarizes each listener's music history for the year, capturing everything from their favorite artists to the most played songs, favorite genres, and more. Researchers say the way the information is presented helps spark engagement among users. Besides captivating marketing, Spotify Wrapped can trigger elements of social psychology. Some analysts compare this sensation to something called optimal distinctiveness theory. Dr. Ashani Banerjee is a Clemson University clinical assistant professor and social psychology expert.
We want to feel like we belong. We want to feel like we are part of a group. But at the same time, we have this kind of competing motivation where we also want to feel unique and distinct and different from everybody else.
For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is proposing to designate nearly 7,700 square miles of west central and southwestern Colorado as critical habitat for Canada lynx, a species classified as threatened under the Federal Endangered Species Act. With more, here's our network's Rachel Gable.
According to reporting by Cat Urbakite, about 90% of the proposed critical habitat in Colorado is federally administered land, but 9% is private, with the remainder consisting of land owned by tribal, state, or local governments. The proposal would designate 684 square miles of private land in Colorado as critical lynx habitat, though this designation doesn't authorize Fish and Wildlife to regulate private actions or to access private property and does not affect landowner actions that do not require federal funding or permits. The proposed critical habitat rule is subject to a public comment period through January 28th. The Southern Rockies proposal includes portions of Archuleta, Boulder, Chaffee, Clear Creek, Conejos, Dolores, Eagle, Gilpin, Grand, Gunnison, Hinsdale, La Plata, Lake, Mineral, Montezuma, Montrose, Ouray, Hark, Pitkin, Rio Grande, Sawatch, San Juan, San Miguel, and Summit counties, and northern New Mexico and portions of Rio Arriba County. In addition to the critical habitat proposal, Fish and Wildlife also released a recovery plan for lynx in the lower 48 with focal points on 5 breeding populations. Although the greater Yellowstone area of Wyoming is a focal point, that area does not have a breeding lynx population, leading Fish and Wildlife to propose eliminating the 8,000 square miles from Wyoming's critical habitat designation. For Fence Post Magazine and Western Ag Network, I'm Rachel Gable.
All right, thanks a lot, Rachel. Now, the U.S. lynx population is expected to retain federal protection for at least the next 2 decades. In the meantime, for maps and the complete story, you can either visit us online at westernegnetwork.com or check us out on Facebook. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Join Shipwheel Cattle Company Wednesday, December 11th at the ranch in Chinook, Montana, as they sell 110 coming two-year-old bulls and 40 Shipwheel bred heifers. Shipwheel Cattle Company is your source for sound, athletic, thick-made bulls backed by one of the best guarantees in the business and females with extra doability and longevity. Sale time is 1 p.m. at the ranch in Chinook. Live bidding available through Northern Livestock Video. For catalog and more sale day information, visit shipwheelcattlecompany.com.
Every year, humic loss makes it harder for crops to absorb applied nutrients. Resurge from Helena is a low-dust granule that delivers humic compounds to improve nutrient uptake and plant growth. The Resurge granule's superior hardness and uniformity withstands pneumatic applications, allowing for even distribution in your fertilizer and across the acre. Energize your soil and elevate your crops. Contact your Helena representative to learn more. Always follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Well, years of drought and intense heat that have cooked crops in several states have also fueled a clash between USDA and the crop insurance industry that has now spilled over into discussions of a new farm bill. That's because there's currently 12 states where claims have exceeded premiums for at least 6 years during a 12-year span. And those states include Arizona, California, Nevada, New Mexico, Oregon, Utah, and Washington in our region. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, this is obviously not Aaron Flint. Aaron's taking a few days off, he asked me. Former Congressman Denny Reberg and former Lieutenant Governor and State Legislator to fill in for him. I'm honored to have the Montana Stock Growers Association in the office today. We're on the 23rd floor of the old Sheridan, now the Doubletree. John Grandy and Leslie Robinson, welcome. It's good to have you. You're here for the annual Stock Growers Convention. What do you got going?
Well, Denny, it's great to be here, and sorry to miss Aaron, but boy, great to be here with you. We got a lot of things going. It's always a busy time with convention. We feel really good this year. The lineup of speakers we have, the policy things we've got going on, and just a lot of fun events and education. And you know, Leslie, I don't know what things you think you want to focus on. I mean, you've already taken in some of the Public Lands Council and a lot of those things.
Sure. Well, thanks, Danny, for having us. And our committee meeting started yesterday, and we will continue on today with some more committees. And that's where our policy is made. And it's our guidebook, I guess, for the year. So I look forward to the committee finishing up today, and then we'll finalize the policy tomorrow, I guess.
Now, John, you're the president, so you're heading up the organization. Leslie, you're on the board. I got a long history with the Stock Horse. I not only was a member, but I married into it. My wife is a Tagan, and Mon Stagan was land board under Governor Babcock and then became the executive director of the Montana Stock Growers Association. So I got a lot of family that's been involved, and it's a great organization. What's the size of your association? How many members do you have, and you know, what are you doing to try and increase the number of people at a time where maybe agriculture is kind of backing off a bit, slowing up?
Well, you're dating us, Danny, because I got my start in stock growers with Mon Stagan, and of course Mons and Eleanor were great friends of mine and my family. But you know, we've been on a growth curve, and it's been really exciting. Our membership's been growing for 3 years straight now. Last year, the year we just closed out our fiscal year, actually, our growth in individual members was up over 20%, and that's coming after growth the last two previous years. So dues revenue's up, so it's an exciting time. People are responding to what we're doing, and as far as what we're doing, it's the personal touch. You know, we're doing good things in the legislature and in policy, but you got to reach out and actually talk to people personally and get them to want to be a part of the organization. And I think that's what we're focusing on.
Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break. It will be quick. We'll come back, and I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the farm bill that's going to occur in Washington, D.C. this year, and a little bit about the legislature, which is more important to you, the state of the feds, and how do you all interact. So we'll be back after this short break. And again, thank you to the Montana Stock Growers Association, who are in Billings for their annual convention. We'll be back in just a minute. Well, welcome. It's good to have you back. The stock growers are in town, and Leslie and John, what do you see happening back in Washington, D.C. and at the state legislature coming up?
Well, we've been visiting with our new representative and senator-elect, and meeting their staff, and then we always try to have a good relationship with Senator Daines and Congressman Zinke, and we just try to keep in touch with them. We did have our producer profitability initiative. We met with over 1,000 producers from across the state last year and gathered input from them. And so we are just trying to carry the message of what everybody's thinking on the ground to our Washington representatives.
Mm-hmm. On the state level, of course, the big things, you know, thousands of bills, as you well know, always come up at the legislature. Probably our biggest focus right now would be on water and property taxes. As the governor had a couple different task forces between sessions working on different property tax realignment types things, possibly changing the definition of ag land for property tax purposes. That's something we're heavily involved in, as well as what to do with the future of the water court and what to do with exempt wells and how do you promote growth and development in the state while protecting senior water rights. So those are our big issues in Helena.
Well, I know you work real closely with the National Cattlemen Association as well, and what issues are they working on that are looking to you to add some expertise from Montana?
Well, you know, probably Leslie should tackle this. A lot of that, what we deal with there, are the natural resource issues, things with the BLM and with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Right. And we attend the committee meetings at the NCBA and put Montana's input into policy making on the national level, I guess. And so we work closely with NCBA, but federal land issues are some of the top things, and there's a lot of policy that we're put into place, and we'll see what happens with the new administration.
Well, we're obviously going to run out of time real quickly, but I do want to point out the big poster that's on the wall here in the studio, the American Prairie Reserve. I see there was an announcement in the Gazette today of additional close to 500,000 acres. What does that do to Montana agriculture as far as having the outside, out-of-state influence in Montana?
Yeah, the additional, what I just read the article this morning, and it was additional 50,000 acres, and a couple thousand of that were private, and the rest of it is federal. But
yeah, it's going to be a problem, but we'll manage our way through it. That's what we do in the cattle industry in Montana, and you guys are great representatives. John and Leslie, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
I understand we're going to have a little bit more time this afternoon. Look forward to seeing you then. Until then, this is Dean Reberg filling in for Aaron Flint. At KBUL, we have an app, KBUL app. Go on there. We also have a phone number, 406-294-09.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Congressman Denny Reberg have had the honor of filling in for Aaron this week while he's been on a trip with his wife. Normally it's he that goes to Iraq, Afghanistan, but his wife said, you're going with me. And I'm honored to have the next guest. He's my state senator. He's going to be the majority leader in the Montana State Senate. And Tom is one of two signs I allow on the ranch, his sign for reelection. And Tim Sheehy, you'll never see a billboard coming into Montana, into Billings from Great Falls, because I'm kind of anti-sign, but I'm pleased to have put up Tom McGilvray's sign. And Tom, welcome. Good to have you on this morning.
Hey, good morning, Danny. Thanks for having me on. Good talking to you.
Well, tell us a little bit about your role now. You're going to be the majority leader of the Montana Senate, which is a huge deal. I mean, you know, some of the names wouldn't mean anything to Montanans, but you had people like Gene Turnage, who were the majority leader. If I remember correctly, Governor Stan Stevens, before he was president of the Senate, he was also majority leader. So you've had some great ones, and it's an honor to be selected by your compatriots. Tell us what you got planned.
Well, Denny, it is an honor to serve as the majority leader in the Senate. As you know, the majority leader is kind of responsible for the flow of things and the policy that we're doing, and I think some of the big policy issues that we have coming up, obviously, are property taxes. You know, I think most Montana residents are, you know, shocked when they're getting their tax bills. And as you know, we, you know, sent about $400 or $500 million back just in rebates last session. But we spent the interim working on policy, and I think we have a number of options to, you know, a homestead exemption where the Montana residents can get a, you know, cut in their property taxes, which they're obviously going to need.
Well, you know, as you know, I was on foreign ops appropriations back in Congress, and I traveled the world. I was in places like the Sudan, Congo, Uganda, Argentina, and places in between. And everybody wants what America has. They want to set up a legislature. They want to have an executive branch, but none of them really want a judiciary. And so I guess the question is, one, you know as well as I do, we have three branches of government, but you probably work most closely with the governor's office. How's your relationship with Governor Gianforte, and have you had a chance to look at his tax proposals to try and keep taxes from going up in Montana in the next session?
Yeah, we have. I think we'll have a good relationship with the governor, and obviously I already have a good relationship, and I think that's a good starting point. The governor is obviously focused on income tax, and he does want to bring that rate down from, I think we're at 5.9, down a percent to 4.9. I don't know exactly how we will do that. I haven't seen a bill yet. But I think the governor is also concerned about property taxes. He's put together a property tax force last interim, which I was on, and we have come up with a number of items which we know we can lower the average Montana property tax down, and I think that's what the Montanans are looking for. I very rarely have anybody talk to me about lowering their income tax, although they're all appreciative when we do, and I think we should. I do get a lot of email and calls and questions about property taxes. Mm-hmm.
When I served in the legislature, I did 85, 87, 89. In 89, I was lucky enough to get to carry Governor Stan Stevens. He was new governor. His first reduction in the personal property tax, I carried that through the House of Representatives. I hear talk that there may be some activity in the personal property tax, and if there is, what is it and why is it important?
Well, number one, probably have two big issues that we'll be looking at is a homestead exemption. That will lower, I think we're looking at the median home times four, so anybody up to about $1.2 million would get home value. We get probably about an 18% cut in their local or their property taxes. And then another issue I'm looking at is taking some of the bed tax. There's about $45 million of bed tax revenue that goes to general fund. And taking that bed tax and or more, if we can get more, it would be negotiation, as you know, but if we can get 45, 50 million or even 80 million of that bed tax that people pay on hotel rooms and have that as a direct credit to property tax, that could be $200 to $400 a year in reduction as well. So looking at a number of items, just reduction on property tax and then how we tax locally, you know, sunsetting mill levies or putting mill levies in, rather than in bills, in dollar terms. That when they're in dollar terms, you won't see the kind of inflation in the mills that you have seen previously. So we're looking at attacking this problem from a number of angles, and I think the end result will be good.
Well, the majority leader doesn't have the luxury of just being the majority leader. You have to participate in committees as well. Which committees are you going to be on?
Yeah, I appreciate the question, Denny, because it's a very important committee that I'll be focused on, and that's Section D as in dog of the Finance and Claims Committee in the Senate. That subcommittee deals with all the corrections, Department of Justice, the Judiciary, the Office of Public Defender, and those types of departments. And that's another big issue that the legislature will be looking at. We have a public safety problem in Billings, and we want to have more bed space at the Montana State Prison, and that's going to take probably $150 million to add another 500 beds there. And we have about another $40 million to put into that prison from the previous session. Bottom line is we want to have more bed space, not just for men, but for women, and women are more expensive to house than men. And you want to have more bed space for the state prisons so you can kind of clean out those local detention centers, the county jails, so they can put criminals that are causing problems in Billings in jail. And that's going to be a big priority for that committee to look at how we fund that and how we aggressively pursue public safety issues.
Well, for the listeners that don't really know the term, Senate Finance and Claims is the committee. It's similar to the Appropriations Committee. I don't know why they called it Finance and Claims, because it really is appropriations. Tom, yeah. Long before you were in the Senate and in the House of Representatives when I was in Congress, my first session was split 50 Republicans and 50 Democrats, if you can imagine. And then in 1987, when I served in the House, the Republicans had the majority, and the Senate was split 25 Republicans and 25 Democrats. That was difficult. What's the makeup of the Montana Senate now, and do you have a clear majority and more influence in pushing it from the Republican perspective as opposed to being tied 25 Republicans, 25 Democrats? How does it look up there?
Yeah, Denny, incidentally, when I went into the House in 05, we were tied 50-52. So I kind of have a little experience with that. But we do have, to answer your question, the 32 seats in the Senate out of 50 and 58 in the House out of 100. We lost about 10 seats, I think, in the House and 2 in the Senate because of redistricting. But we do have a strong majority still. They're not super majorities. And we have good working relationships, I believe, with Democrats. I think they also want to work on property tax reform, and I have a good relationship with Senator Pat Flowers, who's the minority leader in the Senate. But you know, we do have strong majorities, and we will be moving tax policy that benefits every single Montanan and that pays property tax and income tax. I think that's critical.
Well, those majorities do really mean a lot. When I was in the legislature, the Reapportionment Commission has a lot of power. There's two Republicans, two Democrats, and they have to get along long enough to pick a fifth person to break ties. I had my dad appointed as one of the Republicans and for 20 years. He was on it. It was kind of funny because he was on it the first 10 years and redesigned the districts. And he jokingly said to me at dinner one time, he said, "You know, you're too liberal. I'm going to run against you." And I said, "Dad, you've got to read the Constitution. If you're on the Reapportionment Commission, you can't run for 10 years. And he hadn't thought of that. But the second time around became very political. The Democrats decided they wanted to play games. They wanted to control the Reapportionment Commission. And it was fun because we decided to test how far they'd go with that because they had a person that they wanted on there that was very partisan. And so I said, "Dad, why don't you do something unique? Why don't you nominate Jerry Driscoll with the AFL-CIO as the independent fifth person?" And the Democrats turned down their own AFL-CIO commissioner, which we found unique. But clearly, you know, Tom, that the Republican philosophy has really taken a foothold in Montana. And I think that's going to be good for Montana, especially from the standing of taxation and income taxes and all the other things. Well, we're running out of time, Tom. I really do appreciate you coming on. We're here at KBUL. We have a app, KBUL app. We have a phone number, 406-294-0970. And I know that you're always open to your constituency as well, Senator Tom McGillivray.
Thanks, Danny. Good talking to you.
You betcha. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Yep.
The conservative underground meets right now. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Why won't Europe allow the importation of American food? Now think about that. It's pretty profound, isn't it? Because they don't like the chemicals. They don't like the coloring. They don't like the preservatives. They don't like the hormones that are used to grow our food, be it vegetables, fruits, whatever, and our meat. Why do people in Japan live 10 years longer than the average American? Could there be a connection between the food that we eat and can we improve the health of Americans, or at least give them the choice to improve it with knowledge? Again, as long as it's all, the choice will be yours. You can get the cheaper version and the hormones and the chemicals, or you can pay for a better quality.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, if you're scrambling to think about a good present for your loved ones, well, you can gift them peace of mind with a Burner less lethal launcher, or maybe just treat yourself. Now, with the Burner, you can be confident that you and your family are prepared to defend yourselves against any potential threat. It's simple to use. Now, the Burner launcher is safe. It is an effective defense solution equipped with powerful non-lethal deterrents, including tear gas and kinetic rounds. You also can hit a target 60 feet away. It's capable of stopping any perpetrator or attacker right in their tracks. Why choose Burner? Because protecting your loved ones should never be a compromise. Now, it's legal in all 50 states. There's no background check required, no permit needed, and it can easily be shipped directly to your door. Now, that's why Burner is trusted by over 500 government agencies, police departments, and private security firms. Just go to Burner, BYRNA.com/Hannity to get a 10% discount. That's BYRNA.com/Hannity. 10% off any purchase.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures will stay in the upper 40s to around 50. For tonight, clear and quiet, with low temperatures in the upper 20s to around 30 degrees. And the outlook for Friday does call for more sunshine, with high temperatures from near 50 in Bozeman to about 53 in Billings. Clear and quiet into Friday night. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to
Every home should be warm and cozy.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Obviously not Aaron Flint, it's Congressman Denny Rehberg filling in for Aaron while he's been out of country. And I have my guests returned. It's Mr. Grandy and Leslie Robinson with the Montana Stockbrokers Association. And I'll turn it over to you guys.
Well, Denny, you know, before we left earlier, we started talking, Leslie was talking about some of the new things with American Prairie. It's good to remind folks out there that we actually have an appeal going on, some kind of litigation against the Bureau of Land Management for decisions they made turning American Prairie allotments over to season-long grazing and bison and everything. And we just want to be real clear about that what they're doing goes against, a century of research and good land management. And what they do on their private land is one thing. What they do on our federal land is another thing. And so we're continuing that fight. It's held up just because we're waiting for a judge to schedule it for hearing, but it's something we're still very actively involved in.
Well, people don't really realize that bison can do a lot of damage to property as well. We had one on the Rehberg Ranch for a period of time, and they wallow and they dig holes and they destroy grasses. And while they're beautiful to look at, they're not exactly the best land stewards that are out there. But you know, there are those that come in from out of state and think they're some kind of grandeur and all. They're just big prairie dogs to me.
Some people believe that, and good land management is about managing the land. It's not about the species that's out there.
Well, and I'm kind of one of those goofy ones. People think I'm nuts because I run my ranch holistic resource management under Alan Savory, and it's not crossing your legs and facing the sun and humming. It's understanding that wildlife play a part, the water plays a part. We're not really ranchers. What we are, we're grass farmers. If you don't have good grass, you don't have good cattle. And if you don't have good cattle, you don't have the meat that people want. So, Leslie, what's going on with the convention?
Oh, well, today we will have our opening general session this morning and continue on with our committees where our policy is made. And we have some great speakers. I'll let John kind of cover the speakers because he had a lot to do with suggesting who we have for our main speakers.
Well, coming in this morning, we've got Brian Bledsoe, the meteorologist, who this is either his third or fourth trip. We have an ongoing relationship. He provides a service to us that our members really like.
Are they ever right, the meteorologists?
Well, we're not going to go there, but we'll be asking Brian that question. I think Lon Rukoff, for one, will be asking Brian that question in just a few short hours. But, you know.
Well, does he have the almanac in his back pocket that he just thumbs to page number 56 and says, well, it looks like it's going to be a dry winter?
I'm not quite sure how that works, but we certainly appreciate our relationship with Brian. Also, one of the people, we've got Greg Dowd, the former ambassador, that chief trade representative for agriculture. He'll be coming in to speak to us tomorrow. And we, I've known Greg for years. It's always good to catch up with Greg. So we've got a great lineup of speakers going on.
And Leslie, you're going to be the president next year.
No, on Friday.
Oh, on Friday?
Tomorrow. Yep.
Starting tomorrow
evening.
And
yes.
What kind of leadership do you have then under you? You have a vice president.
First vice president will be Turk Stovall, and second vice president will be Monty Lesh.
I used to borrow the Stovall's panels. I had a blizzard one year. I decided to manage Ron Marlaney's campaign, so I didn't get done until November. We had a blizzard come through, and I had to put cattle panels on Highway 3 between Billings and Great Falls to load my cattle up. So I owe the Stovall's a lot. He's a great young man.
And you're going to have a lot of good help, huh?
We do. We have a very good board, a very good leadership.
Well, as you can hear, the music, it's unforgiving. When they go to one of those pesky advertising breaks, you got to make some money for Aaron Flint to keep their radio program going. Again, KBUL Radio, we have an app, KBUL. And the phone number here is 406-294-0970 to the Stock Cars. Welcome to Billings. Thanks for being here, and thanks for all you do for Montana agriculture.
Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Danny.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
King or queen for the day on housing policy and regulation, what would you do? I, for one, would resist the urge to add more policies. There are dozens and dozens already, many of which are expensive and totally ineffective. I'd pull the plug on things like the deductibility of mortgage interest on federal income tax, which do nothing to affect the home ownership rate and actually help people buy bigger houses. I'm especially leery of adding policies that help people afford housing. Not that people don't need help for affording housing, far from it. But such policies don't lower housing prices, they support low-income households. My King for the Day directive would be to focus on actions that boost housing supply. In fact, if people are talking about things that don't impact the supply, I'd table this discussion. We need to start measuring our performance in permitting new housing across cities and then prod those places to make progress. Growth restrictions are too popular for many places to do it on their own. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.